Amos chapter 6. Woe to those who are at ease in Zion, and to those who are secure on the mountain of Samaria, the notable men of the chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel come. Well, this reminds me of what Paul says in Thessalonians, that when people shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction will come. And so it seems that that is true also of the people of God, that when they are confident that, yeah, everything is just fine, suddenly, as Jesus said, his coming will be like a thief in the night. And so it will be that when he comes back, some who say they believe in him are going to find, wow, he's found us and we weren't ready. It's like when he comes, some of the girls in the parable were sleeping and their oil had gone out and they went to buy some more and it was too late. The door was shut. So there is a teaching in the Bible that when Jesus comes, some of his people, maybe a lot of them, are not going to be ready for him because they're going to be caught up with the things of this life. This is why Jesus also told a parable about the man who starts to eat and drink and get drunk, and then the Lord of that servant comes in a time when he's not expecting him. And so it was here in the Old Testament that they were at ease in Zion and secure on the mountain of Samaria, in their own mind, that was. They were taking it easy and very confident, and then judgment came. Go to Calneh and see, and from there go to Hamath the Great, then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Are they better than these kingdoms, or is their border greater than your border? So I think that the problem was that they thought, well, we're Jews, we're Israelites, we're Hebrews, we're of course better than the Philistines. And so therefore they were at ease. Like us thinking, well, I'm a believer and I live in a world of unbelievers, therefore I'm at ease, I'm okay. Those who put far away the evil day and cause the seat of violence to come near. So the idea is that in their minds they were thinking, well, yeah, okay, all that God stuff, all that stuff about judgment, yeah, well, it will come someday maybe, but not now. So they put away in their mind, they put far away the day of judgment. We got to remember that we are living as those who will be judged. As Peter says, people in the world think it's strange that we don't do the things they do, but we will give an account at the day of judgment, whereas they won't. They lie on beds of ivory. Can you imagine how decadent is that? Ivory is elephant tusks, and they put the tusks of elephants on their beds.
That wouldn't even be very comfy.
Well, no, it wouldn't be very comfy, but it would be, I suppose they thought it was the cool thing to do. I suppose, in fairness, they probably had the tusks sort of coming out over the top of the bed rather than lying on the actual bits of ivory. They stretch themselves on their couches. They eat the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall, who strum on the strings of a harp, who invent instruments of music for themselves like David did, who drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the best oils. But they're not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. Therefore they will now go into captivity with the first to go captive, and the feasting and lounging will end. So the lounging around in high luxury. I mean, who needs elephant horns, elephant tusks on your bed? I mean, that's just absolute opulent luxury. And God is very against this. So he's saying that they're lounging around, living this life. And yet people today would look at that sort of life and say, oh, how cool is that? How cool is that? People see these things on the internet and think, oh, yeah, that looks good. Wouldn't it be cool to stay in a hotel like that? Or wouldn't it be cool to have that? Yeah, sure. But they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. They're like the brothers who saw the affliction of his soul when he was there cast into the pit and shut up their hearts. There he was crying and begging for mercy, and they said, no, we want money for you, and we don't care about how you feel. And that's the problem with the world in which we live. Therefore, they're going to go into captivity, and the Lord has sworn by himself, Yahweh, God of armies, that I hate the pride of Jacob and detest his fortresses. Therefore, I will deliver up the city with all that is in it. It will happen, if there remain 10 men in one house, that they shall die. When a man's relatives carry his body out of the house to burn it, he will ask him who is in the innermost parts of the house, is there yet any more with you? And if he says no, then he will say, hush, indeed, we must not mention the name of Yahweh. God says, I'm going to do this because I hate the pride of Jacob and detest his fortresses. God hates pride and he hates trust in human strength. For behold, Yahweh says it, and the great house will be smashed to pieces and the little house into bits. Do horses run on rocky crags? Does one plough there with oxen? But you have turned justice into poison and the fruit of righteousness into bitterness. You who rejoice in a thing of nothing, who say, haven't we taken for ourselves horns by our own strength? I wonder if that's referring to these horns of ivory, elephant tusks that they had over their beds, and they were saying, well, I worked for it, I got this in my strength, but God says you rejoice in a thing of nothing. And so, as I say, the opulent life that people are so attracted to, God says this is nothing, this is vanity, it's emptiness. For behold, I will raise up against you a nation, O house of Israel, says Yahweh, and they will afflict you from the entrance of Hamath to the brook of the Arabah. So it all came to nothing. And so this world and the passion of it and the lust of it, as John says, will pass away. And it is he who does the will of God who's going to last forever.